Who is a Christian? You know, that word has been used down through the years to designate those who follow Christ. So I usually say, well, the word Christ is in Christian, Christ, and then I-A-N, Christ-like, someone who is Christ-like is a Christian. Am I a Christian? Remember somebody saying that if they were to arrest you as a Christian, or to arrest me as a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict me? So I don't know. I don't know why, who made that statement, but it's something interesting, something to think about. Do the people in the neighborhood, the people at work, the people I associate, the family members look at me as being a Christian? The word Christian has taken on new meanings over the years. You don't hear as many people, especially in the public, speak of being a Christian. Many are not. Many are following the latest fashion, the latest thing to come down the pike. Many of our political figures usually will stay away from the word. Faith and values may be thrown in. Some of their beliefs may be thrown in. But it seems like it's a name that is not used as much lately, and when it is, sometimes it's misused. The name Christian is a worthy name. According to James, James says of those who are wicked in James 2 and verse 7, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called. So he says being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, to have that name is to be have a worthy name. And that worthy name, according to Acts chapter 11, verse 26, first usage in the Bible, we see that the writer Luke records that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. There was an article in this month's Gospel Advocate that talked about the work of the church at Antioch and how it got started. People from Jerusalem didn't go down to Antioch and teach and convert individuals to Christ. Individuals came from Cyprus, I believe it, or Cyrene, other places, and taught only the Gentiles initially. So this was at a Gentile church where the disciples were first called Christians. Later, Paul would use this name on two different occasions. When the Apostle Paul was speaking to a king, King Agrippa, in Acts chapter 26, and actually, Agrippa used the name, as Paul indicates, as Luke records Paul's teaching there, at the conclusion of some statements made by Paul about Christ and about his conversion. Agrippa said, you know, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. We don't know that he ever became a Christian, but later in one of Peter's books, 1 Peter 4:16, Peter used the name of Christian, of a Christian. He said, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf or in his name. So the proper respect for the name Christian glorifies God. In pronouncing the state of Pennsylvania, we mention and we honor, although we may not know it now, it's been down through the years, so many years, we honor William Penn. And there are other situations where certain names, we have a decorated person who's in the armed forces, and we rename a bridge or we rename a portion of a highway after that individual. And it's in honor of that individual. So a name honors an individual. A lot of times when we were kids or growing up, our folks would say, you know, now remember who you are. They didn't want the name Lonnie, so they didn't want the name Smith, or they didn't want the name whatever your name. They didn't want that name dragged in the mud. And so they wanted you to honor that name, to stand up for that name, for their family. Christians in Romans 7, verse 4, Paul said, are those who are married to Christ. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 23, and especially in Revelation 21, 9, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. So a Christian, one who is a follower of Christ, one who is a member of Christ's body. Therefore, we should honor that name. We should seek to perpetuate the name of Christians, the name of Christian, rather. And a lot of times here, I think lately, at least over the last few years in this country, we may have backed off using it very much because there are many different religious groups coming into this country. And a lot of times folks won't mention the name Christian because that is not the politically, quote, correct thing to do. That shouldn't cause us to back off of using the name Christian. The Christians at Corinth were reproved for wearing others' names, wearing the names of people. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, one of the names they said, well, some of us are of Christ. And he really wasn't going after them for following Christ, but using the name Christ and using the name Paul and using the name Apollos, using the name Cephas to cause division. So he felt that, you know, you're all one in Christ. That we are, who is Apollos and who's Paul and who's Peter? We're all partners together, he says, in the teaching of the gospel. I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gives the increase. And as we mentioned earlier, it's God that should be glorified. It's Christ that should be glorified in using the name of Christian. And we should not be ashamed to be called a Christian. People at Corinth had this problem, for Paul said, this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. And he asked some pointed questions. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? He said, don't call yourself Paulites, I guess he would say. I don't know what they called them. Just said, I am of Paul. Don't say that you're a follower of Peter. In fact, to the church at Corinth later, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. He says, focus on Christ. I preach Christ and Him crucified when I was with you. Don't attach your feelings and your thinking and your worship and your honor to the name of Paul or the name of any other man. And that would still teach today, wouldn't it? That would still teach today. And yet through the years we find that individuals would get away from referring to themselves as the body of Christ or as being Christians or followers of Christ or disciples. So our nation, though styled after a Christian nation from the very beginning, seems to be, at least in my estimation, growing away from that ideal that we had initially. Many people think of themselves as Christians. If you were to ask them, are you a Christian? They probably would say yes. If they were, and today people are fairly honest about it, they'd probably tell you if they weren't. No, I'm not a follower of Christ. I'm not. I believe in Him. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in the church. And all those things are connected. All those are connected. As Christians, there are some who deliberately refuse to actually follow Christ at all and still call themselves Christians. As followers of Christ, we need to know what the truth is, don't we? Jesus says that to know the truth shall set you free. Sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith grows in proportion to our hearing of the word of God, our study of the word of God, our understanding of the word of God. Is our faith greater than what it used to be? Is our faith greater at this point in 2007, greater than what it was at the beginning of 2007? What is it that causes me to react to God and react to the church as I do? Is it because of my understanding of God's Word? How do I react to other Christians or to other people? Do I have the love for people that God had for us in sending His Son to this earth to die on the cross for our sins? I want us to look at the first part of the two-part lesson. I want to look at an acrostic. I have to be sure that that's the right word every time I use it, because I don't use it very much. But acrostic, if you remember, is where you take a particular word, and each letter in that word serves as a point in a lesson. For instance, who is a Christian? We'll use the letter C and find a word from the Bible that indicates something about a Christian. The word H, the word R, the letters rather, I-S-T-I-A-N, and on down the line. So as we think of the word Christian as an acrostic, the first C, and you can make this, this is not the Bible telling us to use this first C as a particular word, but I think of the word converted. Converted. To be a Christian, we have to be converted, don't we? We need to be converted. So the first letter of Christian being C, we'll use that letter to stand for the word converted. Christian is the one who is converted. Changed from. Changed from what? Changed from the practice of sin to following Christ. One who is converted is one who has changed. When the disciples once clamored and quarreled among themselves over who would be the greatest in the kingdom, what did Jesus say to them? Well, if we look in Matthew 18, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, look at this little child. He called a little child unto him, and he set this child in the midst of all these apostles. He'd gotten their attention, hadn't he? And he said to them, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. Except ye be converted. Except ye be changed. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Children are forgiving. Children are ever learning, aren't they? Curious about things. Children ask questions. Want to know more. He says you need to become like a child. Most children are humble. They're maybe quick to get after you sometimes and get angry. My grandson comes to see me, and grandchildren and the girls. So I'll get it out in a minute. But anyway, three grandchildren, one's a boy. And that little boy, he'll pout on you real quick. But he gets over it, you see. And sometimes Jesus was thinking, you apostles are going to face problems out there in the future, and you may have problems with each other, but you need to get over it like a little child. You need to be resilient like a little child. You need to be forgiving like a little child. Now, in the book of Ephesians, we studied this morning in our Bible class, it said, don't be tossed and fro, to and fro like little children. You know, we can manipulate children, other people manipulate children. That's not the type of individual he's talking about. One cannot be a Christian without being converted. Without being converted. Without there being a change. And that change has to stay. You know, it has to keep. You know. Because you've seen, and I hate to say it, we've seen over the years where an individual has, quote, been converted, and then 2 years later, it doesn't look like it took. You know, like getting a smallpox shot and it wearing away or something. I heard the other day, too, that smallpox shots don't last. The immunizations don't last as long as I've always thought they were. I figured they lasted forever. They don't last forever. So anyway, word to the wise. And talk to your doctors if you think there's a possibility some child's got it and you're around them. An unconverted man is an unchanged man. An individual who's still in love with the and in the practice of sin. The law of the Lord includes repentance. In the book of Acts, of course, in Acts 2:38, Peter told rather the the individuals there in Jerusalem on Pentecost that they need to repent and be baptized, every one of them, for the remission of their sins. But in Acts 3:19, the Apostle Peter speaking again and talking to individuals who wanted to follow Christ, and he said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Be converted. Carries with it an idea of repentance, an idea of changing, an idea of turning around. Jesus had said earlier in Luke 13:3, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So when there is sin in our life, there needs to be repentance. There needs to be repentance. I know 1 John 1 and verse 7 says that the blood of Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. And it does. But if we look in the rest of that chapter, we'll see that there's some repentance that needs to be carried out, that needs to be done. That we need to still have that heart that can be moved and motivated and changed. When we cease to follow Christ, we cease to be Christian or Christ-like. Jesus said this in James 5, James did as he was directed by the Holy Spirit. James 5, 19, 20 says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth," so we can err from the truth. I know some folks that teach once saved, always saved. We say, oh no, you can fall away. But you know, sometimes it's tough for us to really, really believe that we can fall away. That the Bible teaches that once saved, we can fall away from Christ. Now, if we stay walking in the light, as mentioned from 1 John 1, 7, the blood of Christ will continually cleanse us from all sins, but that's not an unconditional statement. Brethren, if any of you err from the truth, and one converted. So that's the more converting goes on if we err from the truth. So conversion just doesn't take place initially before our baptism, and then that's all the converting that's ever going to be done. Now there's going to be other changes because there will be sin in our lives. We've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. And he says, if one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner. Who's the sinner? Well, we're sinners from time to time. And we need to repent of those sins, or we're going to have to be converted by someone. We're going to have to be changed. We're going to have to be motivated. He which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. The individual who errs from the truth is headed toward spiritual death. Now, who's he talking? He's talking to brethren. He's not talking about the folks that never become Christians. He's talking about an individual who's known the truth, who's been converted from the practice of sin, who's fallen back into practicing sin, and has not repented. And he says there's some conversion that needs to happen. There's a soul that is in jeopardy. So who's a Christian? One who is converted. One who has changed to Christ. We don't just one day decide, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I heard that fellow on the radio or heard the fellow on TV and he said all I have to do is this and this and this. I'm a Christian. That's not necessarily so. We need to read God's Word. We need to be sure that God considers us a Christian. We need to be sure that we have been converted and that we stay converted. Let's let the letter H stand for the word humility. Humility. Being humble. One of the things that Paul says in the Philippian letter, in the context of verses 5 through 11, and we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 2 tonight in some detail. But one of the things Paul said there was that the people needed to have the mind of Christ. And he said, one of the things that Christ did, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was there with God from the very beginning. And came to this earth, though, and he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. Jesus was humbled. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, he was Yes, he was a son of God, but here he was, a fleshly human being, knowing pain, knowing that future pain was headed his way, knowing that death was right on his doorstep, and punishment, suffering. And he prayed that if there's any way, to let that cup pass from him. But you know what he said after then? It's very important. He says, "Not my will, Father, but thy will be done. Thy will be done." He stayed humble. His purpose was to seek and save the lost, but his purpose was to please God in all things. To please God. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child we were talking about earlier from Matthew 18. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Christians are to be humble, to be teachable, as little children are. What about pride? Where does it belong in my life? What about being haughty? What about being conceited? What about thinking of myself highly? Well, I think the book of Romans says we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Being conceited, those things, we're not exhibiting Christ-like character, are we? We're not being like Christ. And Christ is to be our example according to, I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and following. So, who is a Christian? We look at this acrostic. C for converted. Would it be converted? Would it be one who is converted to Christ, and one who, upon the investigation of my neighbors, will realize that I'm a Christian? That I'm like Christ? That I've been converted and I'm staying converted? About that third letter in Christian, C-H-R. And I think of the word reverence. I think of the word reverence. What does reverence mean? Well, the psalmist said this about his idea of reverence. Psalm 89 and verse 7. He said, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him." Reverence. And look what the psalmist says in Psalm 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set all thy glory above all the heavens." Verse 3. "When I consider the heavens, when I consider the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him." And then the psalm ends, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Reverence. Respect. The writer of the book of Hebrews speaks of the reverence that we're to have for God in Hebrews chapter 12. We'll look at verses 28 and 29. Hebrews 12, 28, 29. The Hebrew writer says there, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, the church, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." We need to stand in awe of God, you know. Some people just make fun of God, make fun in our belief of God. We're to have respect for God. When we read the Bible and see the word God didn't, I believe the Jews wouldn't even write down the word of God, would they? They were so respectful of God. God is not something we're just to think about on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Or just when we bow our heads in prayer at night or in prayer to give thanks for our food. God should be in our minds at all times. As we grow older and supposedly more mature in Christ, we need to be thinking of these things. I read the obituaries. You know, sometimes I won't find my name there and stop. But do you see what they write up about these folks that have died? I saw one place where President Johnson was talked to by Billy Graham. And Johnson, I don't know what kind of religious person he was, but Billy Graham, you know, spoke to most of the presidents from Truman on down. But somehow they got into discussion about death, probably after Kennedy was shot in 63, November 22nd, 63, I believe it was. I just gotten out of the Army. But anyway, Johnson was talking to Billy Graham, and he said, you know, I want you to preach my funeral. And he said, you know, don't say anything. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to preach to the people that are out there as part of the audience. And then he said, I wouldn't mind if you put a few things in there about me. But he wanted somehow or the other, he had got to the point in his life that he saw Billy Graham as one who perhaps could say something to encourage people to do something other than what they were doing. I don't know what Billy Graham ultimately did when Johnson passed away, but there are a number of things that are said in the obituary columns that the families feel sincere about concerning their loved one. I have more concern, really, for folks who pass away without Christ. It's difficult to go to preach at a funeral, knowing that the individual who's passed away is revered by their family, but did not revere God. That's a bad situation to place a preacher in, isn't it? So I usually, at a funeral, I'll usually do like Johnson said to do. You know, although I don't do what he says to do, I don't follow him, but I preach to the people who are there. They're the ones who can hear anyway. Whoever is in the casket is already, their future is determined. Their future is determined. Reverence. We must reverence the name of God and not be so hardened to sin and the world that we take the Lord's name in vain. I have come across some who profess to be Christians. One was a deacon in the church, and he was using God's name in vain on the job. He quit really fast, though, when A.T. Pate, who was preaching the meeting at that congregation, introduced himself when we visited his store. That man was not a leader of the church. He was really a hypocrite, wasn't he? But to respect God, we've really come a long way in this country when all about us use the masses of the people have the only use they have for the name of God is to use it as a curse word. Or to use it instead of the word goodness. When something unusual, extraordinary has happened. If we would have God hear our prayers, Jesus said, pray ye this way, speaking to his apostles and the multitude there on the Sermon on the Mount. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. Sacred and holy is God's name to us, Jesus said. It's not cute, nor is it a mark of being truly liberated in this world to allow all manner of filthy talk to come from our mind. Remember what James said? He said, you can't have sweet water, salt water coming from the same fountain. So we need to be careful around people. We need to show people that we reverence God, that we stand in awe of the one who created us, and that we come together and we worship God. We come together and we study God's Word because one day we will be judged by His Word. And Jesus said, you know, there's going to be folks that's going to say, Lord, Lord, He's going to say what? Come on in. I never knew you. You didn't do what I asked you to do. And there's so many people that even when they use the word God appropriately and fear and have what they refer to as reverence to God, still don't pay any attention. You know, that frustrates me. That flabbergasts me. And sometimes I find myself in the same situation. You know, choosing what I'm going to do this day and it leaves God out. If I were going to live forever here on this earth, I wouldn't have too much bother about that. But one of these days, and you know, we're getting closer and closer. Nobody's been given a visa and said, you know, use this visa when you approach God in judgment. And you won't have to, there won't have to be a dividing point of right and left, sheep and goats. Here's your visa. Here's your passport. Hand it to God and walk on in. Who is a Christian? One who's converted, one who's humble, one who's reverent. Probably some of you are thinking there's a whole lot more letters in the word Christian. And we'll look at those next week. I appreciate your attention. And I ask that you prayerfully consider what's been said this morning, Christian, the name Christian. I don't know whether everybody in the first century used the word Christian. They were referred to in the book of Acts as those followers of Christ were referred to as disciples or the way. The way, especially when outsiders referred to them. But the name Christian was used a number of times. Down through the years, the word Christian has been used to refer to those who are followers of Christ. If you're here this morning and not a follower of Christ, not a Christian, there's a matter of conversion that needs to occur. There's a matter of changing the life from the life we now live to a life that would be lived for Christ. You need to have faith in Christ, belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, believing that God is and that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. Part of diligently seeking is to express that belief that we have, and then based upon that faith, to repent of our sins. And based upon that repentance, then to be baptized that those sins might be forgiven, taken away, washed away. Then we might be arise from baptism. To walk a new life as a Christian. As a Christian, if you desire prayers here this morning, if you have sin in your life of a public nature, we'd be glad to pray for you. If you need to rededicate your life to Christ, why not think about that? Together we stand and sing.